Isn't God good? Did you have a good 4th? I enjoyed the 4th of July. Linda and I spent time in the sun. And I felt the sun the next day. But we had just a great time celebrating the 4th of July and all that. Last week I talked about giving, and today I'm going to talk about serving. And I think there's probably no other nation in the world that has given more and served more the world than the United States of America. And it's an amazing thing. No nation has given more money to help the poor, the downtrodden, and rescue people in trouble than America. And we live in a day when because of one mistake, you are etched off of the planet for being evil. And, there's something powerful about forgiveness. There's something powerful about forgiveness. That forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says all things become new. And it's amazing to me that when the church practices forgiveness, the world scratches its head. How can you do that? How can you do that? How can you do that? Well, it's because that's what Jesus taught us to do, to forgive those who trespass against us. Amen? So today we're going to talk about healthy change. Growing in serving, because I don't believe you can adequately grow up to be an adult and to be a mature Christian without serving in the body of Christ or serving mankind in particular. I just don't think it happens. Last week we talked about giving, growing in giving, and you're just not going to make healthy changes until you choose to give away something that belongs, well, it really belongs to Him. He just gives you stewardship over it for a season. And until you learn to give things away. And the other thing is until you learn to serve somebody. Serve somebody. You start where you are. Start where you are. John D. Rockefeller said this: I would have never been able to tithe the first $1 million if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. It is a funny thing to me. People, I'll give when I get. Well, I'll give when I get. No, you won't give at all until you learn to give what you have. The little. It is where you start. As we talked about last week, Paul tells us that we work so we can share our stuff with someone in need. With someone in need. That's a beautiful. Learn to grow in your giving. You heard an amazing testimony from Mary today about that. And if service goes long today, it's her fault. Just so you know. But you heard an amazing story about growing and giving. It's amazing when you read some of the stories of our predecessors. Colonel Sanders started tithing 10%, and by the time he died, he was living on 10% and giving away 90%. I wonder why God blessed his business. J.C. Penney was the same way. He tithed the 10, and by the time he was old and mature and dying, he was living off the 10 and giving away the 90. It's an amazing thing that God would do it. I have a great friend who says, if you don't believe there's a God, you need to look at Chick-fil-A. They are closed on Sunday and outperform all the fast food restaurants altogether. You multiply all their stuff together, McDonald's and Burger King and all the rest. You put it together, Chick-fil-A does better than all of them. And they're closed on Sunday. There is a God. And the chicken's pretty good too. I'm just saying. Zig Ziglar says, once said, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And some people never start and they lose. Don't forget to start. Don't forget that little things matter in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way. If you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you ruler over many. That principle never changes. Amen? So we serve. Change, healthy change, that's what we've been talking about. Healthy change begins with decisions that you make. And sometimes we make bad decisions. Anybody ever made a bad decision? Anybody? I'm just curious. Anybody made more than one? Okay. Now we all feel better. And this is one of the things. I was talking about this past week with how you know you made bad decisions. And number one is bad decisions create more work. Bad decisions create more work. And matter of fact, it creates work that's draining instead of energizing. I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but you go ahead and make a bad decision. You go find you just you're making more work for yourself. The other thing is it robs you of momentum. In other words, it will zap your forward momentum. It'll make you feel like you're going backwards. Now, get me wrong. I know there are some times in God's plan you feel like you're going backwards. You just ask Joseph that. Because he was in Potiphar's house ruling the roost and then ended up in prison. But it was all God's plan to move him toward the right hand of Pharaoh. And that's where prayer comes in. And the other part of that, Joseph made one decision, a holy, righteous decision. I'm not going to sleep with Potiphar's wife. And it put him in prison. That wasn't a bad thing. That was a holy thing that kept him on the journey and purpose of God. Did you hear me? And the other thing that bad decisions do, they steal harmony. They disrupt the unity in your life, whoever that or whatever that is. Good decisions do just the opposite. Good decisions energize work, that it brings momentum, and it brings unity. Unity to our lives and to the people around us. Now listen, there are some people who are not going to like anything you do. Have you met them? I mean, they're just not going to like anything you do. That's okay. You have to learn to identify them because necessarily they're not going to be the ones who tell you whether you made a good decision or not, because the problem is not your decision. It's in their heart. It's in their heart. And what you really have to know is measure your own heart by the motive of your decisions that you're making. And this is what I know. The scripture says God measures the heart. And there's no reason why and how you can ever know what's going on in my heart. God knows. Now, there are a couple clues that the scripture indicates that you have to what's going on in your heart. Number one, you're probably thinking bad thoughts. You're probably speaking bad things. And if you think bad things and you speak bad things, your actions are not going to be righteous and holy. Amen? I would ask you how many of you know that to be true, but we all know that to be true. Right? Yes. So today we're going to talk about growing in service to others. And healthy change begins by concentrating on others. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a situation where you were wounded or hurt or discouraged or whatever, this tends to be what I do. I pick out my shovel and I start digging. I knew it was going to be that way. I knew they were going to do that. And I just keep digging and digging and digging and digging. And before you know it, I'm in this hole called self-pity. And I'm going to tell you, that is not how to change your circumstances or your life. Digging that hole, picking up that shovel every day and start. And I knew they didn't care. I knew they didn't care. I knew they didn't care. And before you know, you're there and nobody cares. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy because you've dug a hole where nobody wants to find you, because when they knock on your door, you're in this party mode. That's not healthy. It's not healthy. And the only way to get up out of that, get up out of yourself, is to look around somewhere and find somebody you can help. Find somebody you can serve. It will resurrect hope in your life. You see, a self-centered life is a selfish life. And I don't know about you, but I've had to do everything within my power to crucify the flesh. And part of that crucifixion is stop worrying so much about myself and start caring about others. Others. Growing by serving. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles warded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your..." Is that really what he said? "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." So what is Jesus telling us to do? Model what he did. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. Lay down your life for the sake of the other. I believe with all my heart that's what makes a successful marriage. A successful marriage is, in our home, is when I lay down my life, lay down my want, lay down myself, and serve my bride. We are called to be servants. 1 Peter 4:10 puts it this way: "Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Your gifts that God gave you should not be for self-aggrandizement. Should be to serve others in the body of Christ. 1 Peter 5:2, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve." See, here's the deal. We're all shepherds of something. We shepherd over our children. We shepherd over our workplace. We shepherd over something. Yes, I know here he's talking about pastors and leadership in the church, but the truth is, don't miss the principle. We are all shepherds of something. And it is our job to serve over those people that God puts us over. In Hebrews 10:24, it puts it this way: "And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds." How can I encourage you to do good deeds? How can I encourage you to do good deeds? Well, I can give opportunities for you to serve at Elevate. I can give opportunity for you to serve in Bible Quiz. You can sign up for both of those today, by the way. I mean, there's opportunities for you to serve. I can give opportunities for you to give to missions when missionaries come. Amen. "Pastor Larry, you have a lot of missionaries come to this church." Listen, when you get to heaven, you complain to God about how many missionaries we got and see what he says. I just want you to know. I've settled that issue a long time ago in prayer with God, and he says it's okay. You with me? Yeah. But to spur one another, you know what that means? We need to encourage one another in good works. You see somebody doing something, thank them. Encourage them. Encourage them. Amen? Yeah. What does serving accomplish? What does serving accomplish? I know this. Serving has changed me more than anything else I've ever done. Serving has changed me. It touches your heart. It does something inside of you. Serving others, not thinking of yourself better than others. I mean, there's a beautiful thing. When you learn to serve out of joy, there is a humility that seizes you, that occupies your life, your heart, so that now you are modeling Jesus. I mean, you know, he did what he did because he humbled himself and came obedient unto the death of the cross. He served us all. In Romans 12:3, it says this, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." You know, we just need to be reminded, you know, I'm not that important. I'm not that important. And it's okay. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. I'm not as smart as my mama told me I was. You know, it's okay. But this is what you can be. You can be a servant. You can be a servant. And by serving other, it can be a display of humility. It can be a mark of love. In Galatians 5:13, he says this, "You brothers, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. So do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." You know, the freest people are the servants. Are the servants. I mean, think about Jesus. He wasn't bound to anything except for his love for the Father. And it's because he was so free, he could do anything. He could stand in front of the Pharisees and just talk back to them. I mean, he could stand his ground in love. He was free. And because he was so free, he could serve the least of us. Aren't you glad of that? Glory to God. You see, we serve for others. I know this, that service helps people see love. Service helps people see their value. Helps others see a good way to live. In other words, serving teaches, models something to others. Amen? You model to others the principles of his kingdom when you serve. Here's the warning. Serving is hard. Serving is hard stuff. You know why? People are judgmental. People are judgmental. You know, if you try to serve, you're not wearing the right stuff. If you try to serve, you didn't do it the way they would have done it. If you try to serve, you know, something's going to be wrong with it. And it's okay. I'd rather have you trying to serve than sitting back on your, Because I got a feeling God's saying, go get them. Go love them. Go serve them. Go serve them. You might not do it exactly perfect. You might make a mistake along the way. It's not about being perfect. Because we ain't it. We're just servants. And that's what he asked us to be. I'm going to tell you, serving is hard because people are generous. You know, they'll question why you're doing. They'll question your motives of why you're doing. They'll question how you were doing it. You know, because some people can only see one direction. Someone can only see what they do and how they would do it and not anything else beyond that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the sun rises in a different glory every morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the sun sets with a different glory every morning. There's something beautiful about variety. And people serve in different ways and different capacities with their limits and with their slack. We should learn to encourage those who serve among us. Amen? Yeah, serving is hard because people will tell you all the mistakes you make. I've been pastoring for 36 years. I know that very well. That's okay. Listen, we're human. And God loves to use our imperfections to display his glory. And you know what? That is a beautiful thing. Serving is hard because people are judgmental. Serving is hard because I'm judgmental. Do you know that? I'm judgmental. I don't know about you. I'm my harshest judge. I mean, there's very few Sundays I walk away and say, I wish I'd have said that. I shouldn't have said that. Lord have mercy, I shouldn't have said that. I'm just telling you, I'm the harshest judge in the world. And that makes, it would be so much easier for you to do what I'm doing this morning for me. Because I'm hard on myself. And people are, I mean, we just do that. You regret the things you've done and haven't done. Forgot to shake that person's hand. Forgot to say hello. Forgot, I'm just hard. You're just hard. You judge yourself very hard. And serving is hard business. Yeah. When it's over, you think of a million ways you could have done it better. Ah! You just got to get over yourself. God's not after perfection. Did you hear me? God's after your heart. And there's something about serving people that does something inside of your heart that is far more valuable than your perfection and my perfection. Amen. You know, there's something beautiful about church, not perfect. Now, most of us get hung up on TV and how perfect it is. You see that preacher, he never makes a mistake. You see that choir, you see this song group and all that. You do understand it's went through 30 edits. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't strive for excellence in the body of Christ. I don't want you to think that we should just be mediocre and just get by. No. But I just, don't be misled by what you see, or should I call it Hollywoodized Christianity? No. Yeah. Here are the rules of engagement when it comes to serving. This is some things I just put down. Number one, you serve for the glory of God. Did you hear me? You're not serving for anybody or the praise of men or anybody else or for the paycheck or anything else. You're serving for the glory of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Listen to me. There's a sign that you need to do something when you stop doing it for his glory. Right. I remember one time my dad came home. He was serving in Rangers, and he was doing this stuff, and he got all mad at the preacher. Because they didn't recognize him. And I felt bad for my dad, but I knew the problem wasn't the preacher. And he needed to take a time out. You know, sometimes we never get too old for the time out. And you need to learn to take a time out when your attitude sours. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Anyone who speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We serve for his glory. Amen. Your name may never get in the bulletin. Well, that's not very impressive, is it? You may never be asked to testify. You may never, but it's not about that. Amen? The other thing is this. Number two is love for God is the motivating factor for your service. Your love for God moves you to serve. Serving in love will heal your own heart. I'm going to say that again. Serving in love will heal your own heart. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that, but it just works. You know, it comes back to what we talked about last year. You reap what you sow. When you bring healing to others, God brings healing to you. Don't be afraid to serve through your pain. The third thing I would say is this: when you feel like apply yourself to gain the knowledge and the ability to serve at your best. Amen? Because he deserves your best. Amen? You know, we used to joke all the time at church, because at church, you know, everybody would come to the choir and sing. When I first started, everybody wants to sing in the choir, come on up here. And everybody go in the side, and you just be sitting out there looking at everybody, because there was only two or three that weren't singing. And that's just the way church was. And the sister so-and-so get up, well, you just pray for me. I don't know if I can sing this or not. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering if you should be singing. Listen, do your best. Practice. Practice. Amen. Amen? Practice. And the fourth thing I would say is this: sometimes you need a break from serving. A break is not an I quit. A break is a break. 7 days and he rested. One of the best gifts this church ever gave me was a sabbatical. I took 8 weeks and was gone. It blessed me. You blessed me. Sometimes you just need a break. Don't be afraid to take a break. Now, I don't know what the body of Christ is going to say about that, because they're pretty judgmental. But you're living for him. And listen to me. We are running a marathon race. It's not a sprint. God wants you to go the distance. And if you need to stop and get a drink of water, he's okay with that. Amen? Yeah. Bottom line is this: loving people is serving. Loving people is serving. Jesus, his last meal with his disciples in the upper room, John 13. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed as you do them. Isn't it interesting? Last week we talked about giving to God, and God's promise is what? To bless you in giving. Isn't that beautiful? And now the promise is this: to bless you in what? Serving. Hallelujah. If you give and you serve, guess what God's going to do for you? Guess what God's going to do for you? Bless you. You didn't even sneeze. Bless you. He wants to bless you. Stand with me. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, that you're in the business of blessing your people. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in my life through service. How you changed my heart, my life, my mind, my thought. You made me better because of service. Lord, help me. Help me always to do it for your glory. Help me always, Lord, to apply myself to continue to gain knowledge and ability to serve you better. Help me always, Lord, to do it out of love and humility. Help me always, Lord, to be sensitive to know when I need a break. Help me, Lord, to love your people enough to pick up a towel and to wash. To serve. God, I thank you for all the servants at Freedom Church. All those that keep the nursery, all those that teach the classes, rangers, missionettes, all that help in youth. God, I thank you for the servants, all the ushers, all the greeters. Thank you, Lord, for the percentage of people at this church who are actively involved in ministry, serving. I thank you, Lord, that little bit becomes a whole lot when you bless it. Bless the service of your people, I pray, Lord. It's what you promised. It's what you blessed. God, keep us. Keep us. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Because you are the greatest servant of all, Lord. And we magnify your name, Lord. We bring glory and honor to you. May all that we are, all that we do, bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray.